Now we're holding on page 94 in Bava Basra, Os Yud. Continuing on the topic of tzedakah, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gadol ha'osa tzedakah, baseser yosim Moshe Rabbeinu." A person who gives tzedakah in secret, so therefore he's not embarrassing the poor person, therefore he's not getting covered for it. He is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, how can a person be greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Tosfos says it means that Moshe was able to calm down Hashem's anger with his tefillah. This person is able to accomplish beyond even what Moshe did. Now, Tosfos points out, I mean, surely Moshe also gave tzedakah b'seser, but nevertheless, at the time, when he needed to daven about the chet ha'egel, then maybe that chos had already been used up. So now a person is able to accomplish with his tzedakah b'seser more than Moshe did as far as calming down Hashem's anger and getting rid of harmful malachim that come as a result of it. Yeah, but it's a different kind of tzedakah. In particular, Moshe got, a certain degree of covered for it. I mean, it's recorded in the Torah that he did it after all, but yeah. So here, he does tzedakah b'seser, then he's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, you know, Ben Yehoyada says, you know, it's almost like al-derech, you know, you might say, you know, nobody's greater than the king in the country, but, you know, in the particular village where nobody has ever seen the king, then you have, you know, the local balabas is the biggest guy. So the same way, you know, this guy in his little circle, in a way, is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe, he says, by the Chet Egel, I was afraid because of the Af and Chema, which are two malachim, or two groups of malachim, that of punishment. So he was afraid that, Rashi says, Bez Legionis Koshmehem, these are two very strong and harsh groups of malachim, legions of malachim, to punish the sinners. So Moshe was afraid of the effects of them on the Jewish people. So Af and Chema. This is a different, what exactly the nuance is between Af and Chema. So one point is, the Malbim makes a point in some of his, in some places, in his Pidushim, that Af is the external manifestation of anger, where a person shows that he's angry, whereas Chema is more what he bottles up inside. In any case, the Moshe is afraid of both of them. The other boy said tzedakah ksiv, whereas by a person who gives tzedakah, the pasuk says, "Matan b'seisu yichbe af." A person who gives tzedakah in secret will overcome, will control the af, the anger of Hashem. And the pasuk continues, which is brought over here in a footnote from the Maharshal. The pasuk continues, "V'sheichad b'cheik," and a bribe that's given in the pocket, which the Gemara is now understanding, as the Gemara is going to go on to say that that the bribe over here hints to tzedakah. B'cheik in the pocket, in the bosom, chema aza, it controls and overpowers fierce chema. So we see that the person who gives tzedakah in a secret way is overpowering both Af and Chema, which Moshe was afraid to be up against both of them. So now this person in that sense is greater than Moshe in that he's able to overpower both of them, where Moshe couldn't. The Rif has, as you can see over here on the page, has a very, very long explanation, with a big arichus. One point that he develops during it is that Moshe himself at one point was actually endangered by Af and Chema. We have a story in last week's parasha where he's in the hotel with his family and Malachim were about to kill him by Vakash Amisai because he hadn't done a bris milah for his son, and Sipporah had to do an emergency bris milah, and then the Malachim left him alone. So we see that Moshe himself was vulnerable to Af and Chema that was swallowing him up. Mind you, the Gemara tells us in the Dardim that at that point Moshe killed Chema. Tosfos brings it over here. But then the Gemara says Chema himself was gone. The Malach Chema himself was gone. But you still have what the Gemara calls in the Dardim Gunda the Chema, the whole retinue, the whole legion of the whole troop of Malachim that accompanied him, which are still there, and therefore Moshe is worried about them by the Chet Egel. In any case, we see that Moshe himself was vulnerable to the Af and the Chema. So now, by the Chet Egel, he's saying, fine, they're not going to harm me, but they might still harm the Jewish people, whereas here, a person who gives tzedakah b'seser is safe against that. However, the Gemara says, "Pliga de Rabbi Yitzchak." However, this explanation argues with Rabbi Yitzchak. The Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Af Koyfe, Chema Eine Koyfe. Rabbi Yitzchak says, the person who does tzedakah in secret, he will overpower Hashem's Af, but not his chema. So the external manifestation of anger, of following the Malbim's way of looking at it, and then he'll be able to overcome and get rid of. But the chema, the internalized, bottled up anger, that not necessarily. Why? Because shenema. Because look at the second half of the pasuk. The shocha b'chek chema aza. We're saying when there's a bribe in the bosom in secret, then fierce anger. So here, Rabbi Lazar's drasha had taken it that the word yichve refers to this also. The word yichve refers to both. It yichve af and yichve chema aza. This is a common kind of thing you find in psukim. Meforshim call it moshech atzmei ba'acher imoy. Where you have one verb, for example, in the pasuk, which refers to two different things. But Rabbi Yitzchok is not taking it that way. He's saying yichbe refers to af, but the shoychad b'chek, chema aza, is a separate thing. Af apisha, shoychad b'chek, even though there was a bribe, meaning tzedakah, given in the bosom, meaning in secret, nevertheless, chema aza, there still exists fierce anger. Now, why are we calling tzedakah a bribe? In a certain sense, in a way, it's almost like a bribe to Hashem. We have the Gemara mentions in other places. For example, a person is even allowed to give tzedakah, b'shvil sheyichyu banai, b'shvil she'ezka l'chayen l'ava. So in that sense, a person is almost like buying a favor from Hashem by giving tzedakah, and Hashem will have to do it. And he's considered a tzaddik gomer for it. So, what?
B'chanuni
b'zoi. B'chanuni b'zoi is actually, the posts can disagree whether b'chanuni b'zoi, where the Navi says, test me, as far as giving ma'aser, does that refer specifically to ma'aser of produce, or does it also refer to ma'aser of money? And so you can look, and in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Tzedakah, the Nosei Kalim discuss that point. So it may not be that you can actually test Hashem with it, but nevertheless, a person can say that I'm giving tzedakah, b'shvil sheyichyu banai, so my children should live, or that I should come to Chayim Abba, and it's fine. There's one place in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara explains there's a difference in that regard between Jews and Goyim. A Jew can do it, a Goy, on the other hand, it's a problem. If he does it, mainly because if he doesn't then get his way, he's gonna start complaining and talking that Hashem is not just, and is not just, etc., chas v'shalom. Be that as it may, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying that, fine, tzedakah is a shoychad, but nevertheless, the pasuk is saying there still exists chema aza. Which, in that case, then, the point is, in that case, Marshal says that he's no good. You can't say he's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying was afraid of both of them together, but he was able to overpower one. He said, as Tosfos brings from that Gemara and Nedarim, he was able to kill chema. Here, if this guy is able to overpower af, okay, so then they're equally balanced. He's able to get rid of af. Moshe was able to get rid of chema, but there's no greater thing one than the other. So the Gemara actually explains over there that there are actually two different chemas, but yeah. Fine. The Ikadamri, now another version is that Rabbi Yitzchak had said, Bechlau, the Shoychad in that pasuk does not refer to tzedakah at all. In the second version, he says it means exactly what it sounds like, Shoychad, as in a bribe which you're not allowed to give or take. According to the second version, Rabbi Yitzchak says, called Dayan Anoitel Shoychad, any Dayan who takes a bribe, maybe chema aza la'olam, he brings a fierce anger of Hashem to the world, shenema, v'shoychad b'chek, chema aza, as the pasuk says, shoychad in the bosom, in the pocket, tremendous anger, tremendous fury. So in other words, because he takes a bribe, therefore he brings Hashem's fury and anger into the world. One way of looking at it is that that Rabbi Yitzchak agrees with Rabbi Lazar that Shoychad, and that pasuk at least does refer to Tzedakah. He's just saying it doesn't overcome Chema, just Af. But according to the second version, he's saying that half of the pasuk is Bechlam, not even talking about Tzedakah, but rather about the Issu to give or take a bribe. The Gemara continues, V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol ha'noisin pruta la'ani, a person who gives even a pruta to a poor person, misbarach b'sheish brachas. Then he is blessed by Hashem with six brachas. V'amafaisi b'dvarim, and if somebody appeases him with words, misbarach b'yur aleph brachas, then he gets 11 brachas. Now what does that mean? Do the 11 include the six or not? So Tosfos brings two explanations. One is that we're talking about where he does both. He gives the pruta and he speaks nice words to him and makes him feel good. And therefore it would mean the maximum number of brachas that he's going to get is 11. If he gives the tzedakah without the good words, he gets 6. And if he gives the tzedakah with the good words, then he gets 11. But then Tosfos says that no. What it actually means is what it actually means is that the person gets six for giving tzedakah. And then, suppose, for example, he doesn't have any money to give, and he just talks to the other person, to the poor person, and makes him feel good and commiserates with him, then for that alone, he gets 11 brachas, which would mean that if he does both, then he gets 17 brachas.
Communion toiv.
Why 6 and 11? There are a number of different explanations among Mephoshim what 6 and 11 respectively signify. One point is, the Maharal says in other words, the idea, you have 6 cardinal directions. So therefore, so he's going to get brachas from Hashem coming in all from all directions. And then as far as the 11, it represents, there are Asara Mamaris, that Asara Mamaris, Nivra Olam, so he's transcending that even with his good words, he's transcending the world that was created with the Eivishter's words, and therefore he gets 11 brachas. Another way of looking at it, Ben Yehoyada says, is also with the 6 in the world, but the idea is each person is an Olam Malei, so he saved a person's life, therefore he gets brachas, corresponding to all 6 directions. So where do we see the 6 and the 11 respectively? Hanosin Pruta Va'oni Misbarach B'sheish Brachas, when he gives the Pruta to the poor person, then he gets 6 brachas. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, the Psukim in Yeshaya, that the Gemara has been quoting some of them already, that the Psukim in Yeshaya, Perek Nun Ches, which we read as after the Yom Kippur morning, which talks about tzedakah, among other things. So he says, "Halay fores v'roiv lachmecha v'gomer." You shouldn't you break your bread for the hungry. V'aniyim merudin tavi boys v'gomer, and you'll bring the moaning poor into your house. As we learned before, aniyim merudin really actually refers to the government, which is either constantly complaining that we're not collecting enough in taxes, or which is how Rashi learned, or as Maharsha said, that they dominate and oppress people and barge into their houses and take things. In any case, the pasuk continues, "Kisira orim v'gomer." You see a person who's underdressed, and you give him clothing. Then the pasuk starts with, so this here we're talking about where you're actually giving him tzedakah. You're giving him a pruta, or you're giving him food or clothing or what have you. And the pasuk says, "Oz yibaka kashachar erecha," then your light will break forth like the dawn, so that's one bracha. "V'aruchoscha mehera tzitzmach," and your healing will grow very quickly, that's the second one. "V'holach lefanecha tzidkecha," your tzidkos will walk before you. "Kvoid Hashem yasvecha," the glory of Hashem will gather you in. So far we have 4. "Oz tikrav Hashem yane," then you will call out and Hashem will answer. "Kishava," you will cry out, "V'yema hineni," and Hashem will say, "Here I am." So those are the 6 brachas for a person who actually gives halay fores and v'chisisoy and so forth. That actually gives them food or clothing or what have you. So those are the 6 brachas. Now, v'amafaisa b'dvarim, if he appeases him and makes him feel good with words and helps lift his spirits. Maharsha points out, you know, obviously you're not going to say if he has money to give, he shouldn't just think that he can get away with just a nice word. That's certainly not going to work. What it means is, in other words, so the idea is, in other words, that there's begufoy versus b'mamonoy, if he uses words, so when he doesn't have any money, then he's doing tzedakah with his guf, because he's using his guf to give, to appease, to think of good things to say to the person, and therefore he gets more brachas for that. Anyway, so where's the 11 brachas? So I'm a faisa b'dvar misbarach b'yud alaf brachas. Dichtin. The pasuk continues. The sofik l'roiv nafshecha. If you bring out to your soul to the poor person, so in other words, you express your soul, you express heartfelt, soul felt words to him about how much you want to help him and how badly you feel for him. Iyun Yaakov points out, you know, we're also going to talk about in the Gemara soon that after all, Hashem didn't have to create poor people. Hashem created them so that we should have a schus of being able to give tzedakah. So therefore, they're doing us a favor and they're maybe suffering their whole life in order for us to have that opportunity. So therefore, by rights, we should be speaking nicely to them and trying to lift their spirits. So now, that's the pasuk is saying. If you do that,
there's a difference when you give them the piyus before or after?
That's not necessarily, does it? Again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about two possibilities. We're talking about where he does give him the tzedakah and the piyus, and the total number of brachas is 11, or the 11 is for the piyus alone. Again, as Maharsha points out, if he doesn't have money available to give him, and if he had done both of them, he'd get 17. But does it matter before or after? Vesachnish. Okay. Anyway, so the pasuk says, "V'sofik l'roiv nafshecha, v'nefesh nana tasbia, and a suffering soul you will satisfy." Now, satisfying could mean satisfying him with food, in which case Tosfos says that would fit with the girsa that the maximum number of brachas is 11. You're satisfying him with food as well as you're expressing your soul to him. On the other hand, if we say that not, if we say that they're two separate things, then tasbia means you satisfy him mentally by making him feel good. Anyway, the pasuk starts listing the brachas. V'zorach v'choshech oirecha. Your light will shine in the darkness. That's one bracha. V'afeloscha katzaharoyim. And your gloom, your dark gloom will be like the noontime. V'nochacha Hashem tamid. And Hashem will always keep you calm. Will always keep you calm or will always lead you. V'yisbiya v'tzatzachoyis nafshecha v'goymer. And Hashem will satisfy your soul even in tremendous thirst. The pasuk continues, Hashem will strengthen your bones, you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a stream of water that never fails. They will build from you the wounds that have been there forever. You'll establish foundations that will last from generation to generation. You will be called the one who fences in the breaches. The one who restores the paths by which people can rest and sit. So therefore, altogether, if you count it up in the Pesukim, you have 11 brachas. One point is, by the way, you know, you have, there's a well-known Maisala, I don't know what the provenance of it is, but that, you have this guy back in the day, standing on a street corner and selling pencils for 10 cents. This is back when you could buy anything for 10 cents, but, anyway, a rich guy comes by and gives him a dollar. And again, we're talking about back when a dollar actually meant something. This gives the guy an idea. Now he's able to spend a little money to get himself some food and coffee and make himself feel better, to get a shoe shine, and then that gives him that encourages him to go and apply nearby for a job, and to make one thing leads to another, and over the years, this guy who previously had been selling pencils for 10 cents a piece becomes a major financial mogul, and then years later, he and the guy who had given him the dollar meet up, and you see how far that dollar went, that it wasn't just Sam, it's 10 times what he'd get for one of his pencils. It gave him a whole new outlook and a whole new ability to be able to pick himself up and become something better and greater. So in that sense, then, I'm a Pfizer, you never know how far that good word can go. Like this, you gave him the prutta, very nice. Now he has a prutta to buy food, but you give him the Pfizer, that may motivate him, that may strengthen him and encourage him to be able to accomplish so much more than that.
If you throw a $100 bill
without a sour face, and the Rambam writes, Ibid kol schusa, yeah, then he loses his entire schusa, yeah. Yeah, ain't no chanamim. The Gemara continues, "V'omer Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv." What does it mean? A pasuk, "Roidif tzedakah v'chesed," one who pursues tzedakah and kindness, "Yimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavod," will find life, tzedakah, and honor. Now, that he should find life and honor, those sound like very good things. But what about the tzedakah? Mishum de roidif tzedakah, yimtza tzedakah. What's the logic? He's pursuing tzedakah, and therefore he's going to find tzedakah. That makes it sound like he's going to become poor, and he himself is going to have to take, is going to have to get tzedakah. What kind of a schar is that? So, Ella loy malach. No, rather what it tells you is, kolor roidif tzedakah. Anybody who pursues tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamsi loy mois, lasis mehen, uva'oisa behen tzedakah. Hashem will provide him money that he will be able to do tzedakah with. So what does it mean, haroidif tzedakah? So there can be a lot of different possibilities that different mefarshim talk about. It can mean, for example, that he taka doesn't have, but he pursues any opportunity that he could to be able to collect money for tzedakah. It can mean, for example, Marashah says, it means, for example, that he pursues other people and tries to convince them and compel them to give tzedakah. Like we talked about Gadol HaMa'aseh, we learned yesterday about the one who causes other people to give tzedakah is greater. So then Hashem will make it that he himself will have money and he himself will be able to give such tzedakah. So it can mean that. Ion Yaakov over here mentions an idea that can mean, for example, that he's roidif, he's chasing after to look for a parnasa, but his primary motivation is not so much to support himself and his family, but to be able to have money for tzedakah. So then Hashem provides him that he'll taka have money and be able to accomplish what he's looking for. Another possibility, roidif, could mean that he chases around to look who is worthy of getting tzedakah, so then Hashem makes sure that he has the money and he has the proper, the erelich of poor people to give it to. So all those and more different explanations of this Haroidif Tzedakah. So that's what it means. Roidif Tzedakah v'chesed, Yim Tzachayin Tzedakah v'chabed, he will find, Hashem will reward him with chayim, with life, tzedakah, opportunities for tzedakah, and covering. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer, not just Hashem provides him the money, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamsi b'nei Adam hamahu gonim lasas lan tzedakah. Like we just said, Hashem provides him people who are worthy and erlich to that he should give them tzedakah, k'dei l'kabel aleihem schorei. This way he'll get a schar for it. Because in other words, there's always, you have the person's motivation to do a mitzvah, but there's also, did the mitzvah actually accomplish something? In the case of tzedakah in particular, who did it actually have a practical effect and a good effect? So if you have people who are not supposed to receive tzedakah, okay, maybe he meant well, but nevertheless, there's still something missing from his schar because it got misdirected. Which la pukim in the dorash rova or rabba? Which means, in other words, he will be spared the kind of thing that we find that Rava or Rabba Darshan on a Pasuk in Yirmiyah. We learned this in Bava Kamma a couple of months back. The Dorash Rava or Rabba, my dichtiv, Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah is talking about the people of Anosis. Anosis was actually Yirmiyah's hometown. But we find in Psukim that there were many people over there who hated him for his nevuos and were trying to do all kinds of terrible things to him. They were trying to libel him and get him in trouble and get him put in jail or chayrim or worse. Some of them were even trying to poison him, etc. So he says at one point, he says to the Eibishter about them, V'yu mocholim lefanecha, may they be made to stumble before you, be'es apcha sebahem, at the time of your anger, act against them. So what does that mean? Even when they do conquer the Yetzirah, and they want to give tzedakah, cause them to stumble over, cause them to come across poor people who are not really poor, who are not erlich and shouldn't really be taking tzedakah, so that they will not get a schar for it. In other words, the idea is, Marsha over here refers to what he talked about in Baba Kama. Since we said before that a person gives tzedakah, then that causes that he overcomes the Ebishter's anger and fury. Well, now these people of Anoses should not have that schus, and therefore their tzedakah should not have that effect, and therefore they will be punished by Hashem's anger and fury. What about their kavanah tova? Ah, so there is an explanation actually that. Their kavana may not be that good either. Even when we're saying kov shemetz yitzram, they still may be doing it, for example, for the honor or for other things like that. So mela, if they were at least giving to people who are erlich and deserve tzedakah, then at least they get a reward for that aspect of it. But if they have neither the right intention, l'shem shemayim, nor that the people they're giving to actually deserve tzedakah, then they're really left with nothing, and that's what Yirmiyah is saying should happen to them. Mind you, by the way, the Medrash tells us that eventually people of Anosis did in fact do tshuva, and we find them listed when it lists in Sefer Ezra and Nehemiah, the Jews who returned to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Beis Mikdash. It mentions 120 some people from Anosis. So even though Yirmiyah had davened that they should be consumed by Hashem's anger and their children should die young, Rachman al-Aslan, etc., but eventually they did tshuva and they were zoicha to me among the rebuilders of Eretz Yisrael. There's always room for tshuva. There is a chassidish vorta in it anyway, that so what is Yirmiyah thinking? I mean, vorta, is that the way that a manig Yisrael talks about Jews, that they should be nichshol and not even be able to accomplish a mitzvah? So there's a vorta in it, I don't remember from who, that says fakir. Yirmiyah is saying, you know what, they may end up giving to people who are not erlach and don't deserve tzedakah, but midi keneged midi, then the Eibishter should be mashpia to them, even though they themselves are not deserving either. It's a chaf. I mean, obviously, it doesn't really fit in the context of the Gemara over here. But it's the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, a person who regularly gives tzedakah, zoicha lebonim or havim loy, he will be zoicha to children who have the following qualities: bale chochma, people who are children who are wise in Torah; bale osher, who have wealth; bale haggadah, and people who are experts in haggadah, which are very popular, as we see, that people honor and people like people who teach haggadah because it's popular, it's easy to understand. So where do we see bale chochma dichtiv yim tzachayim? The pasuk says he will find life, and life refers to life of Torah. Ki motzi motzachayim. Rashi brings a pasuk from Mishlei. The Torah personified says those who find me find life. So when it says that the person who gives tzedakah, yimsa chayim, tzedakah b'chavad, chayim refers to that he will have children who are balei chachma. Balei osher dechtiv tzedakah. They will be wealthy, as it says, that they'll have tzedakah, meaning that they themselves will be able to give tzedakah. Balei haggadah dechtiv b'chavad, and they'll be experts in haggadah, because that's the covered. That's because, again, everybody honors them. And furthermore, you have here, it says covered, covered chachamim in chalu, where it says the chachamim will inherit covered. So therefore we see the covered we're talking about is a covered that has to do with Torah. That has to do with a specific aspect of Torah, namely, Rashi says, the one that's most popular, which is Agadah. You have a relevant story in the Gemara and Sota, where one time Rabbi Bohu and Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba were both in the same town at the same time, and one of them was daushing an Agadah and the other one in Halacha, and everybody went to the one who was teaching Agadah, and the other one, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, felt bad, and Rabbi Bohu explains to him, you know, it's like when a peddler comes to town, everybody's interested in the little things, the little cheap things he has to offer, nobody's interested in the gold and jewels and whatnot that he has, because people can't appreciate the greatness of them and they can't afford them anyway. But the point is, therefore, that Agadah is popular, and therefore it's described with the word covering. So Maharsha points out, you know, before we were talking about, again, following Maharsha's explanation, before we were talking about a person who himself does not have money to give tzedakah, but he tries to convince and compel other people to give tzedakah. So therefore, he will be zeicha to... So if he doesn't have, but he does tzedakah, what the expression we said before was roidif tzedakah b'chesed, he chases after opportunities for tzedakah and chesed, then the Eibishter will provide it to him. Now we're saying rogil, as in he regularly goes and compels and convinces other people to give tzedakah, then he will be zeicha to children who will have these three qualities, chochma, chayim, and chochma, osher, and agadah. So therefore that's why he's zoicha, that's what we mean that he's zoicha to these three things. We said before, God Almighty Yosef and Osa, therefore he has children now who will be zoicha to these things. Ben Yehoyada points out, you know, he accomplished three things for the poor person by giving him money. He may have helped save his life, therefore he's zoicha to Tzitzchayim, which is the life of Torah. I don't remember about the osher. I don't remember about the osher part. What the connection is exactly? But the balei haggadah is he preserved the guy's dignity by not embarrassing him with the tzedakah, and therefore he's zeicha to covering. So it sort of fits with the three aspects of tzedakah. The Gemara goes on. Tanya, Hoyer of Meir Omer, Yesh Pischen Per Uloi Lavala Din Lashivcha. The Bala Din, anyone who would argue against you, it could be Rashi says a Rosha, it could be a Goy, or the Mephoshim say it could be a person's own Yetzahara. Anyway, could argue and say Lashivcha, he could argue against you, Veloimalach, and he can tell you, Imele Kechem Oyevanimhu, if Hashem loves poor people, Loma and Mipne Ma'enim Afanasan, why doesn't he support them himself? Why does he leave it up to us to give them tzedakah? And Murloy, sort of Meir says, you should tell that opponent of yours, this way we will be saved by giving tzedakah, we will be saved from the judgment of Gehenna, as the Gemara points out later on in the Sugya. So for that reason, the Eibishter makes that there are going to be poor people. One point of it is, so now, Eitz Yosef actually says that it's both. The poor people themselves might have done things that make them deserving of Gehenna. So now, the fact that they had to suffer throughout their life saves them from that. Meanwhile, we also get saved from Gehenna by giving tzedakah. So therefore, the Eibishter shows love for both the Aniyim and the Ashirim, by each one giving them an opportunity to be saved from Dinah Gehenna. There's a vort on this that's pointed out in that case. You know, you see from this, in other words, it's worth it for the Eibishter to make the world in such a way, and for a person to undergo that he might have to go an entire life of hardship just in order to help another yid to give schus to another yid. It's a tremendous idea. So the Gemara says, the Zusha Ela Shaw Tunus Rufus Harosha as Rabbi Akiva. In fact, Tunus Rufus Harosha, who was a Roman governor in the period after the Churban, asked Rabbi Akiva this question. We find there was a Turnus Rufus who plowed up the Heichel. There was a Turnus Rufus who oversaw Rabbi Akiva's execution. It doesn't seem it was the same one. In particular, the Gemara tells us in the Nedarim that Turnus Rufus dropped dead, and Rabbi Akiva and his wife was Nisgaya, and Rabbi Akiva married her. It's mashma that there were two different ones. Be that as it may, so he says to Rabbi Akiva, exact same question. If your God loves poor people, why does he not support them himself? And the answer is, Omalei, so he says, as Rabbi Meir had just said, precisely that, so that thereby was saved from the judgment of Gehenna. Yod points out an interesting nuance over here. Whenever there's a question in the Gemara, because of what, implies that there's two possible reasons that you could answer, and I want to know which one of them is the correct one. Now here, there are two different ways you could look at it. You could say that we give tzedakah because to be saved from Gehenna, as we're saying over here, but there's also the point, Ion Yaakov brings up the point over here, that tzedakah also saves us from having to be subjugated to the goyim we talked about before. In the Gemara, a person gives tzedakah, and that way he doesn't have to. That way the government doesn't go and extort more taxes and fines and whatnot from him, as we'll also have in the story with Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai's nephews, which we'll learn next time. That's to him. So Turnus Rufus wants to know which of those is the correct answer. And Rabbi Akiva realizes if I tell him the one about Shibud Malchus, then you know what? The next thing we're going to know, the Romans are going to pass laws outlawing tzedakah because they want us to be subject to the Shibud Malchus. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva realized he'd better give him the first answer that we're saved. That thereby we're saved from Dinah Shogahem. Turnus Rufus may not particularly want the Jews to be saved in Dinah Shogahem, but to go ad kadei kach, that'll pass laws against it. For that, he probably won't bother. But Turnus Rufus says to Rabbi Akiva, Adrabba, Zushim Chayavtim Gehenim. On the contrary, you could argue that giving tzedakah it makes people deserving of Gehenim. Says Turnus Rufus, I'll give you an example. It's like the following illustration. Lamelech boss of Adam Shekos al Avdoi, a human king was angry at a servant, the Chovshe Beveis HaSurim, and he had him thrown into jail, the Gozer of Tziva Olav, Shalei Lachile, Shalei Lashkoise, and he gave orders nobody should give the guy food and drink, so he should just starve in jail. The Holach Adam Echad Bechilo Vishko, somebody goes and gives him food and drink. L'chashama HaMelech, now if the king hears about it, says Turnus Rufus, Haloi, Loi, Koyas Olav, wouldn't he be angry at this guy who violates his orders and gives food for this Evan? Va'atim Kriyim Avadim, you Jewish people are called Avadim, to Hashem, Dichtiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki Libnei Yisrael Avadim. To me, the Jewish people are avodim. So then in that case, what do you mean that it saves you from Gehenna? Just the opposite. Hashem would be very angry that you're interfering with his plans, that there are the poor people and you're supporting them. Marsha points out that the Turnus Rufus would agree when the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael, then sure, we have a mitzvah of tzedakah. And therefore, fine, I agree that then it's Kedesh and Nitzel Medina Shal Gehenna. But he's saying now you're in jail, you're confined in Golos. So now you're like an Eved who was thrown into jail. And we even find in the Pasuk, we find in the Toshecha, that Hashem warns that you're going to end up serving your enemies in hunger and in thirst and in all kinds of privation and want and everything. So in that case, now that you're in Golos, you're like this Eved thrown into jail where he's expected to get nothing. So what do you mean then that you're interfering with Hashem and contravening Hashem's plan by feeding the poor people? So Rabbi Akiva answers back to him. Let me give you a different marshal to explain to you what it's like. A king was angry at his son and threw him into jail. And he gave orders not to give him food or drink. But somebody comes along and gives him food or drink. You know what happens when the king hears about it, says Rabbi Akiva. He sends him a gift. Because he realizes that, Hashem is angry at us and therefore threw us into Golos. But nevertheless, Hashem doesn't expect us to starve. Nevertheless, Hashem is happy when one person provides for the other. Ion Yaakov points out, so what did the king mean by saying you shouldn't be fed or you shouldn't be given food or drink? He meant you shouldn't be given from the royal table, like Bnei Melachim. You should be eating commoner's food, like a prisoner. So an Eved, in other words, to begin with, is not eating from the table of the king in the first place. So there's no reason that we can assume that when the king says don't feed him means don't feed him at all. But the prince, when the king says don't feed him, he just means don't feed him the delicacies and royal foods that he wasn't until now. But you want to give him regular food, sure. Then the king is nothing. The king is going to be happy that you realize what he really wants, which is that my son should stay alive. Well, the Anukurim Bonim. Well, says Rabbi Akiva Tzatzonus Rufus, we're called Hashem's sons. Shenema Bonim Atim Hashem Elokeichem. As the Pasuk says, you are called sons to Hashem your God. Marshall refers over here in this connection to a Gemara in Kiddushin, where Reb Meir, the same Reb Meir that started this whole discussion over here, Reb Meir points out that when it says Bonim Atim Hashem Elokeichem, whether you're following what the Eibishter wants or not, you're still Bonim. Even for example, you have the pasuk Bonim Mashchisim. Hashem calls the Jewish people destructive children. So even when we're destructive, nevertheless we're still Bonim. So yes, Hashem would be happy when we give the poor people because they're also Hashem's children. Turnus Rufus says, fine, Atim Kurim Bonim, Vatim Vokurim Avodim. Fine, I agree, you're called sons of Hashem, but you're also called Hashem's servants. Bizman Shatim Osim Mitzonish Amokim Atim Kurim Bonim. So only when you're doing what Hashem wants are you called Hashem's children. Or Bizman Shain Atim Osim Mitzonish Amokim Atim Kurim Avodim. But when not, then you're downgraded, you're no longer children, then you're Avodim. Which is, by the way, the Gemara in Kiddushin says that Yehuda holds that way, that only when we're doing what the Eibishter wants are we called Bonim, and when not, then not. So therefore, Saturnus Rufus argues along the same line. Now you're clearly not doing what the Eibishter wants because you're in Golos, and that itself shows that the Eibishter is angry at you. So then my point still stands. You're considered Avodim, and if the king throws the Eved in jail and says he shouldn't be fed, then he shouldn't be fed, period. Omalei, Rabbi Akiva says, no. You're wrong. I'll demonstrate to you that we're called Bonim even when we're in Golos. Harehu Oimer, the pasuk from Yeshaya that we've quoted several times already. Should you not break your bread to the and give some to the poor person? Vanim merudim tovi boyis, and you should bring in the moaning poor into your house. Now we've already explained that anim merudim refers to the government, either because again merudim means they complain and whine that they're not getting enough money in taxes, as Rashi had said, or in the Russian roidim that they dominate and they act in a tyrannical way towards people and then barge into their houses. So the pasuk is saying v'aniyim merudim, so you should give your bread to the poor and you should bring in the aniyim merudim. Emesai v'aniyim merudim tovi voyis. When are we in the situation where we're constantly having to let the poor, the miserable poor, the merudim poor into our house, the government? Bizman hazeh ohedna. Nowadays, when we're ruled over by you Romans and you're always doing that kind of thing. And yet the pasuk is saying, should you not break your bread for the hungry? So we see that, yes, even when we're in Golos, even when we're dominated by the Aniyim Merudim, nevertheless, we still have a responsibility to give tzedakah to Haloi Fores Laroi Vlachmecha.
In Kavonim and Kavodim, yeah.
Well, I mean, Turnus Rufus obviously didn't want the Jews to have the schus of tzedakah, but b'chlal, I mean, the whole concept of tzedakah is a Jewish thing. The goyim in those times did not even have such a concept. The fact that the goyish world has that concept comes from us ultimately. There's a lot of things, you know, that we kind of take for granted that the goyish world has. We don't realize over the centuries, even, you know, that I've always talked about when you talk about Shev Mitzvah Menoyach, that, you know, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, we had no opportunity for it because, you know, they're busy trying to convert us. We don't really have the opportunity to tell them what the Eibishter wants from them. But nevertheless, ideas of Yiddishkeit have gradually seeped into the world through their religions. That I'm right. At the end of Hilchos Malachim, you know, that the Eibishter created allowed those religions to come into existence in the first place. So now the goyim have certain ideas, certain basic concepts of Yiddishkeit they now have in their heads. And now when Mashiach comes, and they'll know the true versions of them.
From 1,000 gardens down to 3.
What?
It's a joke. They got them from 1,000 gods down to 3.
Well, yeah, there was that. Okay. All right. So continuing on this topic, actually, Shev Mitzvah Minoneach from Yom Mashiach Gola, Chofvav Tevis. The practical hurrah that I've talked about, we have to work on the Umas HaOlam to be involved in tzedakah. And we see sometimes it's actually much easier nowadays to motivate people to give tzedakah, whether we're talking about goyim or lahavdil Jews, it tends to be much easier. You have all kinds of campaigns nowadays that people are able to do. You have all kinds of when the Rebbe was saying this in 92, they didn't have even all the online platforms that you have now for giving. So if anything, now a generation later, it's even easier. Now, in fact, we're going to have in the Gemara, we'll get to it in the next couple of days, you have the whole Shakla V'Talia, first of all, you have the whole Shakla V'Talia among Meforshim, among Rishonim and Achronim. To what degree exactly do Goyim have a Chiyuv of Tzedakah? It's not one of their Shev Mitzvot Nenoyach, but nevertheless, it's something that they can and are expected to do. And you have, there's the Gemara is going to bring, we're going to have in the next couple of days, we're going to have the Pasuk, V'Chesed Lo'umim Chatzos. And we have a whole bunch of different explanations of what that means exactly. And the final explanation is Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, the same way as a chatas is mechaper for us Jews, the same way tzedakah is mechaper for the goyim, and therefore it's a very good thing to motivate them to do that, so to speak, chatas for themselves, and thereby clean themselves up and prepare themselves for Mashiach.
Like a negative comment, when it says.
So that's the thing. In that Gemara, when we go through it, we'll see there are a bunch of different explanations by different Talmidim of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai and different other Tanoim of that generation. Many of them explain it in a derogatory way. The goyim do tzedakah v'chesed only the yisyar boy, and only because they want to get something out of Hashem in return, and so on and so forth. And then Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai finally finishes off and says that no, it means in a positive sense that it means that their tzedakah accomplishes for them what a chatas accomplishes for us. In general, you know, the sugya in the Gemara is arranged very precisely. One thing is, so therefore, a lot of times when we have the final thing in a sugya is like, you know, that's the key thing of it. That's the key takeaway from it. So in that case, if the Gemara puts it in that order with Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai's statement last, then that means that one is what we take away from the whole discussion. Okay. Continuing with halachas of Netilas Yadayim. We were talking about washing the hands. Yesh noyagin, there are those who are accustomed to also rinse out their mouth in the morning, because you wake up in the morning, there's mucus in your mouth, and this way it's not respectful. This way you should rather be able to bless Hashem's great name, v'kedusha v'tahara. And this is in fact what we do, except on fast days, except on Tainus Tibur, we wash out, we wash negovaso, and then we rinse out our mouth. Okay. Now. Then we have a listing of things where you do need to wash your hands with water. You can't just wipe them on something. However, you don't necessarily need to wash three times alternately on each hand. In practice, of this list that he's going to give over here, some of them we tackle wash three times alternately, and some of them people just rinse their hands, if that. So there as follows. First of all, a person who gets out of bed, which is what we were talking about all this time. Also, a person finishes using the bathroom or the bathhouse. Or he cuts his nails, fingernails or toenails. If he takes off his shoes with his hands, or for that matter, puts them on with his hands. If he touches his feet, touches his bare body with his hand, the parts of his body that usually are covered because they're sweaty and dirty. If he washes his hair. Also, if he touches a louse, when he has relations, there you're actually supposed to wash both before and after it. And when a person is cleaning his garments, checking his clothes for lice, even if he didn't actually find any lice, he still has to wash his hands afterwards. When he goes into a Beis HaKvaris, or if he touches a mess. Now, if he's just near a mess, then he doesn't need a Netilas Yadayim. Nevertheless, the minhag is to do even that. And then the same thing. Anybody who attends the Levaya also washes afterwards. So now the Alter Rebbe finishes off based on Gemara, based on relevant Gemaras. If a person does any of these things and does not wash his hands, if he's a Talmid Chacham, then it causes him to forget his learning. And if he's not a Talmid Chacham, it causes him to go crazy. So one point is, you know, we know of all these things. Again, some of these things in practice people wash, some of them not. But in particular, when it comes to a levaya, then, as we know, we don't dry our hands afterwards either. And we don't pass the cup to one another. Now, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say then that when a person has blood let from his shoulders, which lobbed out for the shoulders, but that was the normal place where people would have it done, just like nowadays when you give blood, they usually put the needle into your upper arm. If he doesn't afterwards wash his hands, he's going to be afraid for 7 days without knowing what he's afraid of. If he cuts his hair and doesn't wash his hands afterwards, then the same thing, but 3 days. And if he cuts his nails and doesn't wash afterwards, then the same thing, 1 day. Now, when a person washes his face and doesn't dry it well, then the Gemara tells us that that afterward, then he'll stir the skin on his face will crack or develop sores, maybe an acne, maybe other things. What he should do is then in that case wash his face with juice of beets, and that'll help cure that. And the last thing is a person should wash his hands and feet, his hands, face and feet every day for the covet of Hashem. Ki b'tzelem elokim, asas adam. A person is created in the image of Hashem, and therefore we have to keep that image of Hashem clean at least the face, hands and feet every day. What? Except the 9 days, of course. The mice, so we don't always see that people wash their feet. There's actually a sicha where the Rebbe talks about that in the Beis Mikdash. We know the Kohenim had to wash their hands and feet, whereas nowadays we don't have that. We just have to wash our hands, and the Rebbe talks about it, the Pnimiyus Inyanim, and what it represents in terms of what hands and feet represent respectively in our avodah.